Recently, I came across a book that shed light on the Bible that I had not heard or understood before. The writer is a man named Stephen Miller, and the book is titled The Complete Guide to the Bible. It takes each book in the Bible and helps the reader better understand them. Some people get turned off when God, Jesus, or the Bible is mentioned. But I'm not one of those people. I made the decision some 65 years ago to get baptized, and in the last 45 years, it's become more important to me that I speak up and make clear my position on religion. I'm a Christian, and I always look for information to better help me understand my religion. And that's why I recommend this book to you today. I found invaluable information in it. Again, the writer is Stephen Miller, and the book is titled The Complete Guide to the Bible. Any reputable bookstore should have it. I got mine on a visit to our CVS pharmacy. It cost me $19.95, worth every penny to me. One of the most frustrating parts of my life, work, and talk radio is when good people tell me that they are so turned off by news that they don't follow it anymore. That so-called news they're concerned about is actually leftist propaganda put forth by a mainstream media that has lost the trust of Americans due to their fixation on fake news and generating hate between us. Today's mainstream media is dominated by leftist Democrats who were indoctrinated in college by socialist professors and who have lost all pretext of objectivity. Listen carefully today as I reveal the dangers we face. The nasty thugs who march under the name of Antifa or Antifa in the United States are only part of this socialist movement. It began in Europe, and their aim is intimidation and violence. In America today, they rally against the police and, of course, President Trump. These thugs wear masks on our streets to avoid being identified. They get in the face of law enforcement to scream obscenities and spit on the men and women in uniform whose only crime is trying to keep the peace. It is past time to pass a law that prevents masked thugs from creating chaos on American streets. Antifa is made up of self-described anarchists, radical left-wing thugs who employ violence and intimidation to advance their beliefs. These masked thugs show up to shut down the free speech of those they disagree with. Waves of Antifa-driven riots are on the rise in an effort to silence President Trump and his supporters by any means necessary. These masked monsters show up at left-wing demonstrations to breed chaos, destruction, and bloodshed. What you'll notice is that the rioters and the so-called peaceful protesters have a symbiotic relationship. The rioters break people and destroy things, then melt back into the crowd that often quickly and purposely closes ranks behind them. They are typically cheered wildly and often treated as heroes by the rest of the mob. Antifa members call for open borders, and a favorite chant from them is their call for abolishing the United States altogether. They are misguided fools, but dangerous fools. Members of Antifa are ready at a moment's notice to gather, riot, abuse the police, and create violence. There is no way they can keep a regular job. Violence is their full-time occupation. But at the moment, the American people are getting only one side of the story from the mainstream fake news media. Their intense focus is applied to white nationalist groups, while Antifa is cast in a heroic role, opposed to alt-right demonstrations. The fake news media should be wary of normalizing Antifa's brand of radical violence. As you probably know by now, Peter Strzok was fired from the FBI, but not before he was able to engineer a free pass that Hillary Clinton got when clearly guilty of numerous felonies. There is no question that Clinton should have been indicted, but to do so meant that she would no longer be a viable presidential candidate and that the Republican candidate would win. That candidate was Donald Trump, a man who was promising to drain the fetid swamp in Washington, D.C., and his enemies couldn't let that happen. After all, they were the most corrupt denizens in that swamp. So the fix was in. A text between the FBI's Peter Strzok and his clandestine lover Lisa Page, herself on the FBI payroll, tells us that Barack Hussein Obama wanted to be kept informed as the top members of his FBI and Justice Department mounted their campaign to keep Hillary eligible and undermine the Trump campaign. That was not a rogue operation, but one carefully crafted by the Obama White House itself. John Brennan was once the CIA director appointed by Obama and an unabashed Clinton-Obama supporter. Brennan's history shows him to have been a communist and that he voted for a communist who was running for president of the United States. Brennan also quietly converted to Islam. It was Brennan who pushed the phony Steele dossier and leaked it to the press. MSNBC and CNN have since rewarded Brennan for his dishonest leaks by putting him on their payroll. This unverified dossier designed to destroy the Trump campaign was passed along to Arizona Senator John McCain, and McCain was instrumental in getting the fake news media to lend credence to the dossier's lies. John McCain hates Donald Trump, and he was all too willing to destroy Trump, the Republican candidate, and put dishonest Hillary Clinton into the Oval Office. It is hard to describe the dishonesty of John McCain without using profanity, but suffice to say that McCain is too pompous and egotistical to resign from the Senate, even though he is dying of brain cancer and is physically unable to cast votes in the Senate to serve the people of Arizona. Recently, President Trump stripped John Brennan of his security clearance. He did so because Brennan had been at the forefront of those trying to protect Hillary Clinton and to destroy her opponent, Donald Trump. The rules of the CIA are clear, and as a one-time head of that agency, Brennan knew those rules. A former CIA official with security access can only retain that access by acting at all times like a current CIA employee, and that means they must remain nonpartisan, not favoring any political party or individual. Brennan was clearly in violation of that law. Aside from the delirious Maxine Waters, John Brennan has been the most vocal partisan voice in America. He used his special security access for personal gain by leaking inside information to his new employers, MSNBC and CNN. Taking away security access from John Brennan was long overdue. Add James Clapper to the list of nefarious people who took their hate for Trump and adoration for Hillary Clinton, an accomplished liar, to the extreme. With this cast of devious characters pushing their anti-Trump agenda, Barack Hussein Obama's Justice Department, under the direction of Loretta Lynch and his FBI headed by an ego-driven James Comey, and clueless Loretta Lynch over his head, began a steady drumbeat in the dishonest media to discredit the Trump campaign. Without the ignorant stream of texts between Peter Strzok and his paramour, Lisa Page, at the FBI, we would not have as clear of a picture of the corruption in the highest levels of the Obama administration as they worked tirelessly to prevent Trump from winning and then stepped up their efforts to drum him out of the White House with reckless disregard for the American voters who chose Trump over Clinton. This is by far the greatest scandal in modern American history, and we have only seen the tip of the iceberg. almost daily, we are finding more and more evidence of democratic injustice and the dishonesty in the Barack Hussein Obama administration. Now, all of this could have been prevented if Donald Trump was not so loyal to those who helped him. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions was the first member of Congress to wholeheartedly endorse the Trump presidency. And for that loyalty, Trump made Sessions the Attorney General. That has proven to be his worst mistake. Even worse than allowing an evil woman named Omarosa into the White House and on the government payroll. Sessions is not a bad man. He was simply too naive to realize that he was being played like a fine fiddle by the Democrats. At their insistence, and with the best of intentions, Sessions recused himself from the Trump-Russia collusion matter. With that, the Democrats, led by California leftist Adam Schiff, followed Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, as he poured fuel on the phony collusion case against President Trump. Let's be clear. There is no law against so-called collusion in politics. They do it all the time. We have all been misled by Adam Shifty Schiff and the fake news media in this witch hunt against Trump. FBI Director James Comey illegally leaked information to the New York Times through a college professor that was designed to demand a special investigator be appointed to look into a crime that never happened. Sure enough, James Comey's good buddy and Rosenstein's buddy, Robert Mueller, was rushed in to fill that position. He put together a group of partisan Democrats to fill his committee of investigators. If you aren't already smelling the stench of corruption, you need to blow your nose. In any event, after more than a year of Mueller's witch hunt and at a cost of tens of millions of dollars to the taxpayers, there has been zero evidence of any Trump-Russia collusion. Mueller and his henchmen have gone far beyond the scope of what he was commissioned to do. The most egregious example of Mueller's desperation involves Paul Manafort, a Trump supporter who was part of the administration for about 2 months before departing. There is no evidence that Manafort is guilty of Russian collusion, but Mueller chose to have Manafort tried for bank fraud, which dates back more than a decade. Guilty or not, this has nothing at all to do with what Mueller was appointed to investigate. Nothing to do with Donald Trump. As the trial judge has said, Mueller isn't interested in the bank fraud allegation. He's simply trying to put pressure on Manafort in hopes that Manafort will reveal information damaging to President Trump. For that purpose, they are threatening Manafort with life in prison. Such bank fraud cases normally call for 12 to 24 months in prison. That tells you how dishonest the charges against Manafort are. It was always about trying to trap Trump. The truth is that Congress needs to change direction when it comes to special investigators or prosecutors. Their jurisdiction should be confined to the issue they were impaneled to investigate. In Mueller's case, it was to find whether or not there was a crime committed in the so-called collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Finding no evidence of such collusion, Mueller decided to destroy the lives of Trump supporters in a desperate effort to save face. This time, it's a witch hunt against a Republican. Next time, it could easily be a witch hunt against a Democrat. Congress should move quickly to stop these witch hunts by partisan politicians. Next, we move to the hijacking of the Democratic Party by far-left socialists and the dishonest leaders of the party over the past 50 years. It is so easy to dismiss the possibility of socialism taking over in the United States. After all, that could never happen here, right? Well, it is happening here now, and it is Democrats who are driving that agenda. The chairman of the Democrat National Committee celebrated the primary win of a self-professed young socialist woman named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York and said that Cortez, this socialist, was the new face of the Democrat Party. Since that time, Ms. Cortez has shown her naivete and ignorance in a series of interviews, shown that her push for Medicare for all Americans would cost more than $32 trillion over 10 years, or more than $3.3 trillion every year, an unsustainable amount of debt. Ms. Cortez actually said that the zeros in that amount don't count. That's the new face of the Democrat Party. Socialism does not sound great for earning people, but it is welcomed by deadbeats. Under socialism, everybody gets the same rewards regardless of their efforts, or lack of any effort at all. Ms. Cortez worked on the Bernie Sanders campaign for president. Sanders is an aging socialist who spent his honeymoon in Moscow. He, too, is the face of the Democrat Party. But who are the other Democrat leaders of the past and present, and how do they stack up? Well, the man Democrats called the Lion of the Senate, Ted Kennedy, was a serious boozer who caused the death of a young woman supporter, Mary Jo Kopechne, when he drove off a bridge in Massachusetts. Kennedy freed himself, and then he swam to safety, leaving this young woman to die. He never even alerted authorities of the accident or Ms. Kopechne's peril until the next day. First, this career politician had to meet with his advisors to craft a way out so that he would not face justice. Then we come to former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Here was a man known to be a serial liar without a conscience, and yet he was able to keep fellow Democrats in line through intimidation, much like his successor, Nancy Pelosi, does today. While many Republicans disagree with their leadership at any given time, not one single Democrat has the courage or backbone to break ranks with their leader. To do so would mean being kicked off of committees, having funding for re-election withheld, and even cases where Schumer and Pelosi threaten to run another Democrat against anybody who would dissent from them. How healthy is that? Harry Reid was one of the most dishonest, corrupt politicians in modern times. He had no problem with the most egregious lies and even admitted that he lied. Remember when Harry Reid stood on the floor of the Senate and lied about Mitt Romney's taxes? Romney was running for president, and Reid said that Romney had not paid taxes for 10 years. He offered no proof for that claim because it was a bald-faced lie. After Romney lost the election, Harry Reid, the Democrat leader of the Senate, admitted that he had lied. He told a reporter, "Well, he didn't win, did he?" The media did not cause a firestorm over Reid's dishonesty, the way they do when Trump even mistakes or misstates a fact. Harry Reid became extremely wealthy while in the Senate, making less than $200,000 a year. He is accused of selling influence and insider trading, and those are the lesser of accusations against Harry Reid. We know about the foot-in-mouth minority leader of the House, Nancy Pelosi. She, too, has accumulated tens of millions of dollars while working for some $200,000 a year. Pelosi, as leader of the House, had the taxpayers fly her and a bevy of her friends back and forth to San Francisco almost every week. The food and booze costs of these happy excursions are legendary. Pelosi took over the House leadership and has proven to be untrustworthy. On the Senate side, we have Democrat Party Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who took over after Harry Reid. Schumer, like Pelosi, can't keep track of his positions. They are today opposed to most of the things they favored in the past, such as a wall on the Mexican border, simply because Donald Trump is president and not Hillary Clinton. By the way, Hillary and Bill were both outspoken about the need for a wall on our southern border, too, until they needed to change that position to undercut Trump. You don't have to be very bright to see why liberals and Democrats are so hate-filled towards Donald Trump. In their minds, Hillary was sure to win the election of 2016. With that devious shrew taking over for Barack Hussein Obama, there was no danger of any of the illegal activities of the Obama administration ever seeing the light of day. Hillary was their backstop. Remember when Hillary attacked Donna Brazile, who was then the head of the Democrat National Committee? Hillary told Brazile that she better clean up the mess or they would all hang from nooses. How bad do you have to be to hang from nooses? What is it that Hillary was saying needed to be corrected? She, along with other Democrat elites, viewed the average, ordinary American as foul-smelling morons. Remember, Podesta, her campaign manager, said Hillary didn't have much care for average, ordinary Americans. As Peter Strzok said, "I can smell Trump supporters in a Walmart." Hillary took her win for granted. While Trump was on the campaign trail night and day, Hillary was enjoying happy hours in her New York mansion. When she failed to win, she did not even have the decency to come out and thank her assembled supporters. Instead, Miss Holier-than-thou knocked off the booze in her hotel suite while John Podesta came out before the TV cameras to say that she was indisposed and to offer a verbal glimmer of hope for what he knew was a lost cause. To be sure, there are and have been dishonest Republicans, but not nearly in the same numbers as Democrat elites. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee, Mark Warner of Virginia, who is known to love his booze like a monkey loves bananas, Adam Schiff, a man who lies more than an errant golf ball, Barack Hussein Obama, who said he would choose Islam over America and then set out to do just that. The list is way too long to go into today. Ask yourself, why would any rational person vote for and support this den of vipers? All around us, we see America collapsing morally. We see Democrats drifting further and further to the left, now openly embracing socialism. You may have been a Democrat. You may be one now. But are you also a socialist? If not, it's time to reassess your love of party over your love of country. This 2018 election is a turning point for America. We know that liberal socialists in Hollywood, college faculties, and the dumbed-down students these professors have indoctrinated are going to turn out in droves to vote. So the question is whether or not conservatives and former Democrat loyalists will be as motivated to vote. If Democrats take back the House, Nancy Pelosi moves up to majority leader again. If they reclaim the Senate, they will be led by Chuck Schumer. If either one of those events happen, the future of our children and grandchildren will have taken a giant step toward socialism. Think hard about whether or not you're going to vote in November, about who you're going to vote for, what they really stand for. It is so important. We must, and when I say we, I mean conservative people, not the socialists. We must retain the Senate and the House. The first thing they will do, if they were to get back in power, would be to move to impeach Donald Trump, simply because they hate the man. They never hated the man when he was in private practice, before he became a politician. They all went to nail at his feet and asked him for donations. They had him on their TV shows and all of the things that you do with somebody that you're catering to. Now, all of a sudden, because he beat Hillary Clinton in the election, they would like to even assassinate Donald Trump. Some have even called for that. So think hard about November. It's just around the corner. If you stay home, you just voted for the socialists. You have to take a stand. Vote in November.